Hey everyone, it's Kathy.
And Paul here with Idulting.
We're here to help you navigate the crazy world of adulting.
Because let's be real, it's a wild ride. We'll be dropping tips, sharing stories,
and maybe even spilling some embarrassing secrets along the way.
So get comfortable, grab your favorite drink, get ready to laugh, learn, and level up your adulting game. This is Idulting. Don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe, and share this podcast. Head over to idulting.com for more information and to submit questions for us about adulting.
And maybe even pick up some of our new merchandise. And if you know any fellow adults who need some guidance, send them our way.
And feel free to share this podcast freely out there. We'd like to get our numbers up. Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Idulting. Today, we're going to discuss something that affects adults, adults, young kids, just about everybody. What we're going to talk about today is healthy gaming. Kathy and I grew up in a different time. We can't even compare Pac-Man, Donkey Kong, Space Invaders, Pong to what everyone's experiencing and living today as far as games go. And sometimes we carry some of those beliefs just from our parents into what we tell our own children about playing games.
It was a different time, though, when we were home in the summertime or even after school. We were told, go outside and play. And you did that from at dawn till dusk. You just didn't sit around in front of a video system unless it was raining or snowing. And then you were allotted to play the game a little amount of time. And then you had other stuff to do.
Right. Internet? We didn't have that. Our games weren't connected to anything but our TV. So we couldn't talk to friends outside of the ones that were there playing with us. And in the early games, you had to sit really close because all you had was that dial on the Pong control. So what's changed? Just about everything with gaming.
Right. And there are, even though we tend to put a negative spin on gaming, a lot of benefits to it today.
It's undeniable. We watch our own adults playing them and talking to their friends, just like they're out playing in the park. They do that through a merge of either the game platform itself, or sometimes they use Discord on the side to talk to their friends while they're playing and planning. Actually, some of the games, the game is pretty team-oriented when they're playing tournaments and stuff.
Once dismissed as a solitary and unproductive pastime, online gaming has emerged as a dynamic and engaging activity with a surprising array of benefits that extend far beyond mere gaming and entertainment. It goes from enhancing cognitive abilities and fostering social connections to providing emotional support and educational opportunities. The virtual worlds of online gaming are proving to be valuable in training grounds for real-world life skills and improved well-being.
An example that comes right to mind, I was talking to my brother the other day, and we're talking about young law enforcement officers naturally pick up the use of a red dot sight. That's right out of the online gaming realm. Whether it's Call of Duty or what's the zombie one, they're using red dots all the time in it, and apparently it's transferred into real life.
So what are some of the cognitive advantages of gaming?
Well, it improves problem solving and critical thinking. As much as I'd like to say differently, you're put in a scenario and you have a challenge you have to overcome. You work either solo or as a group to get through these. Whether it's a game like World of Warcraft, where you're actually on a quest, or Valorant, I watch them and they have to get to certain points and checkpoints and they have to solve things to get there. Another one is it enhances memory and concentration. Now let's go in the Wayback Machine. Did we all have a friend that knew where all the hidden things were in these games?
Yeah.
I definitely did. And they'd be like, oh, jump right here. You jump up. There's nothing there, but suddenly you found out it's a secret hidden thing. You can't even argue from even way back that these things were helping improve memory and concentration. Faster decision-making and reaction time. It certainly is today. I can't even keep up with some of these games. The zombie game that's in the house, the Grand Theft Auto. I finally figured out how to fly a helicopter, and along came one of my children and explained to me that I should hit the X button, and next thing I knew, I jumped out of the helicopter. It wasn't a good time.
I find I can't walk and play the game and control and look around and shoot the bad guys. I don't have the ability to, the hand-eye coordination, that our children have to be able to do all of that at once.
Right. We had a joystick and one button. That's a whole different realm, these remotes they have today. Spatial reasoning and awareness. Navigating the 3D virtual environment improves a player's spatial reasoning abilities, including mental rotation and visualization skills. We're just on the verge of that really taking off. We own a Quest virtual reality headset, and that is unbelievable 3D in some of those games.
I find that I like that better because, one, there are less buttons and controls, and two, you're physically moving. I don't like the games where you're just sitting and your hands have to go 50 miles an hour.
Right. The only thing getting any work out is your fingers and hands at that point.
Contrary to the stereotype of the isolated gamer, online gaming is often a highly social activity. It can foster a sense of community and belonging. Multiplayer games, in particular, provide a platform for developing teamwork and collaboration. Many online games require players to work together in teams to achieve common goals. This necessitates effective communication, coordination, and a shared understanding of strategy, thereby honing valuable teamwork skills.
Fostering friendships and social connections. Can't argue that one either. How many years ago were we out at Halloween and one of their online gamer friends from not so local showed up to trick-or-treat with them? That was actually the first time I believed he was a real person, but...
No, we did. We met him at the mall.
That's right. We did meet him at the mall. But it was interesting and also eye-opening for me. That's when I realized that this is real. They're meeting people.
Practicing communication and leadership skills. So within some gaming communities, players take on different roles, including leading teams, coordinating strategies, and teaching new players. This provides low-stakes environments to practice and develop communication and leadership skills.
So nurturing the heart is another important aspect to look at here. There are emotional and psychological gains to be made in the online gaming realm. Maybe not so much in the Call of Duty type of multiplayer first-person shooter, but there's other types of games like The Sims, where you're building families and building community and you work together. Apparently, you pick up a language called Simlish, which helps relieve stress, increases relaxation because they're a slower-paced game. It helps you increase resilience and perseverance. The games often involve failures and setbacks, and you got to try over, solve a problem, and do it a different way. You learn to cope with these challenges and persevere to overcome them, and it helps you build resilience, that never-give-up attitude that can be beneficial in all aspects of your life.
It also creates a sense of accomplishment and self-esteem. Achieving in-game goals, mastering new skills, and progressing through a game can provide a significant sense of accomplishment and boost self-esteem. So you practice that game, you play it over and over and over, and you finally get to the next level or the next achievement. It really, truly does make you feel good and make you feel like you've earned it, you're working hard, and you're achieving something.
Gaming can serve as an educational playground. Can anyone say Minecraft?
I love that they have school, Minecraft school, essentially, where they're teaching you. I mean, I remember when our youngest was really little, came down and said, oh, that's a whatever, some crazy animal I had never heard of in my life, probably never would, but he learned it playing Minecraft.
Right, and they have to learn the formulas to build things. There's a lot of building blocks in games like that. So game-based learning is a legitimate educational way. Gamification of skills learning, like what's the math site? Do you remember that one?
I don't, but all the schools use them now.
Right, there's math sites out there where they become games. These games also help young people develop their digital literacy as if they need it. By the time they're hitting kindergarten now, they're showing us how to do things. Sparking interest in STEM fields. The technology behind online games can inspire interest in science, technology, engineering, and math. It encourages players to explore coding, game design, and other related fields.
Now, while the benefits of online gaming are numerous, it's important to acknowledge that moderation and a balanced lifestyle are key. Excessive gaming can have negative consequences as well. However, when approached thoughtfully and in moderation, online gameplay can be a rich and rewarding experience.
But like you alluded to, there is danger involved in online gaming for young adults. And parents need to be aware of it. Adults need to be aware of it. And by the time you guys are adults, you're already pretty aware of this. There's creepers out there. There's people pretending to be other people out there. There's ID theft out there. There's scammers out there. So you want to watch out for that. In addition to the creepers and scammers out there, online gaming can also harbor a landscape of potential dangers that can significantly impact young people's mental health, social, financial, and physical well-being. We've all heard stories about young people that have gone to meet somebody they met in these games and they're never seen again. I'd love to say it's like urban myth, but this stuff happens. There's cyber criminals out there. There's online predators. It's an immersive world of online games that presents them, these young people, with a complex array of risks today.
Now, online gaming can also take a toll on mental well-being, addiction, anxiety, and aggression. One of the most significant dangers is a risk of gaming disorder. It's a condition that's now recognized by the World Health Organization, and it's characterized by impaired control over gaming, prioritizing gaming over other interests and daily activities, and the continuation or escalation of gaming despite negative consequences.
For young adults, the allure of a structured and rewarding virtual world can be a powerful and sometimes detrimental escape from real-world stressors. They can be these ideal realities that they can go into whenever they want. And that's not how life works, so I definitely can see the draw.
Right, and I can see it as a relaxation technique or a way to get away from daily stresses, but not to avoid real life.
Now, how bad is this gaming disorder? Estimates vary, but some studies suggest that between 1.7 and 10% of gamers in the U.S. alone may experience symptoms of gaming addiction. These include preoccupation with gaming, withdrawal symptoms like irritability or anxiety when not playing, and a loss of interest in other hobbies and relationships. Those are all pretty big red flags that you guys need to pay attention for in yourself, in your friends, and parents. You need to watch it in our young adults.
Beyond addiction or gaming disorder, excessive gaming can be linked to a range of mental health challenges. Some online games can increase anxiety and depression. The pressure to perform, coupled with the exposure to cyberbullying and harassment, can take a heavy toll on a young adult's self-esteem and mental resilience. Some research also suggests a correlation between playing violent video games and increased aggressive thoughts and behaviors.
And when you dig into that research, part of it is it's because you can have these, you can act out aggressively in these games with no real world consequences. It's kind of like no one knows what it feels like to get punched in the face till they really get punched in the face. Yet they've done it thousands of times in these games. It does change. Cyberbullying, we already touched on, is huge. Honestly, we've had to talk to our own young people at times about the way they're yelling at each other during the games when they get overly excited. I don't know that I'd call it cyberbullying, but it definitely is out of character. And there's a much more sinister threat out there, and that's recruitment into extreme ideologies. Gaming platforms can be exploited by extremist groups to spread propaganda and recruit vulnerable young adults who may be seeking a sense of purpose or belonging. The immersive nature of these platforms can make individuals more susceptible to manipulation.
Furthermore, the ability to remain anonymous in the internet makes online gaming a hunting ground for predators. These individuals may use social features of games to build trust with young adults with the ultimate goal of grooming them for either sexual exploitation or other forms of harm.
And they're definitely out there too. We've seen examples of this. I won't say the game, but it has penguins in it, talking to our own children and having to put the kibosh to those conversations and everything else. So it's really out there. The financial pitfalls, I'll talk about this one a little bit. I have OCD. That's no secret. And after I retired, I started paying attention to where our money's going, and I signed up for this cool little online budgeting thing that all our transactions go through. And I started to notice these small but frequent charges, 79 cents, 99 cents, $1, $2, 52 cents. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, and that's when my online gaming purchases came to an end.
They weren't that bad or anything, but what it did, it illuminated for me that you could quickly add up to like countable money, but it's like death by a thousand cuts. And that's for buying things in games, like cosmetic things or special upgrades. Be really careful of that. And it just naturally occurs. Like sometimes in a game, you don't even realize you did it.
And beyond the in-game purchases, young adult gamers are prime targets for a variety of financial scams. These can range from phishing attempts to steal account information and financial details to fraudulent offers for free in-game currency or items that are designed to install malware on your device. The desire to gain an edge in the game or acquire rare items can make a player more susceptible to these deceptive practices.
There's also physical consequences of gaming as a hobby. If you game too much, you're sitting around too much. And sitting around too much, we don't have to lecture you. You know, it's no good for you. It can lead to obesity. It can lead you to be out of shape. It can lead to clots. It's just no good for you. So we're going to talk about that one. Another one that's fairly common today that wasn't so common when we were growing up would be repetitive strain injuries. We did have it, though. I actually remember a term, and you may remember it when I say it, Atari thumb.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, well, you weren't as nerdy as we were. And that was a repetitive strain injury. That happens, it's carpal tunnel syndrome hiding, which results from repetitive forceful movements using the controller, or keyboard, or mouse. Eye strain, headaches, and disturbed sleep cycles are also common. While online gaming can be a source of entertainment and social connection for young adults, it's critical that you make sure and you check yourself and have somebody else have an accountability partner keeping you in check to make sure that you're not falling for any of these potential dangers or bad health habits. Promoting a balanced approach to gaming, fostering open communication about online experiences, and being vigilant about signs of addiction and other risks are essential steps in navigating the complex and ever-evolving world of online gaming safely.
We're talking about striking a balance. So we're going to give you some tips to help you have a better and healthier online gaming experience.
Right. You want to stay in shape. Make sure you're getting the workouts and the activity in. You want to support your posture in a healthy way. You want to mind your monitor, position your monitor at or slightly below eye level to avoid neck strain. Make sure your wrists are at keyboard and mouse or at a height that allows your wrist to end in a neutral position, not up or down.
You also want to try the 20-20-20 rule. Every 20 minutes, take a 20-second break to look at something 20 feet away. This helps reduce your eye strain. Take regular breaks. Stand up, stretch, walk around for a few minutes every hour. This improves circulation and prevents stiffness. I know you guys probably don't get stiff from sitting for an hour, but at my age, we do. And engage in regular physical activity, like we said. Something outside of gaming, something that can counteract the amount of sitting you do during your game.
Make sure you are eating and drinking enough. And that sounds funny. Like, why is he even saying that? Well, if you're a gamer and you've done this, you know you can be sitting for quite a while enthralled in your game or doom scrolling and suddenly in an hour or something is gone. You drink plenty of water throughout the day to stay hydrated, nutrient-rich snacks, not just crappy processed stuff, and make sure you're eating balanced meals.
And you also want to manage your mental health. Utilize your mute and block features. So if someone's being mean or saying things you don't like, you have the ability to mute them or to block those players. If someone is harassing you or cyberbullying you, report it. Most gaming systems have the ability for you to report a player for something that's not appropriate. And make your community. Seek out and play with your friends. Bring in people that foster a positive and respectful environment.
Manage your frustration and tilt. Competitive gaming can be very intense, and it's easy to become frustrated. Things go wrong. Suddenly, you're yelling at your good friends about how they should have done something different. So it's important that you recognize your triggers, take a step back, give a great big woo-sah, focus on improvement, not just winning. And remember, your friends are also needing to focus on that improvement too.
Or just to reiterate, a healthy gaming life complements rather than consumes your other responsibilities and social connections. So remember to set clear limits, decide on a reasonable amount of time, and dedicate that time to gaming each day or week and stick to it. Use timers and alarms if you have to.
And prioritize your real world connections. Schedule social time. And that doesn't mean on a Discord server in a game. Schedule time to be with your friends.
In person.
Where you can reach out and touch them appropriately. And engage in other hobbies, whether it be fishing, biking, whatever.
Kayaking.
Going to the gym. Any of them work, but make sure you have real world stuff going on.
Gaming should be a reward, not a hindrance to your personal and professional growth. So always remember, work comes before play. So get your stuff done before you're gaming. And get your sleep. You guys want to be good at these games? Good sleep is crucial for cognitive function, reaction time, and overall health, all which are vital for peak gaming performance.
By implementing these strategies, young adults can continue to enjoy the immersive and exciting world of online gaming while safeguarding their health and well-being, ensuring that their passion remains a positive, sustainable part of a balanced and full life.
Just remember, you've got this, adults. Keep your head up, your spirits high, and keep adulting with us. Go forth and conquer the world, or at least your to-do list.
And don't forget to like, follow, and or subscribe. Tell your friends, share the podcast, and head over to adulting.com for more information and to connect with us. See you on the next episode. Be safe.